If you're struggling with chronic congestion, sinus infections, or snoring, who evaluates you first matters. At Ohio ENT and Allergy Physicians, your initial visit is with a board-certified ENT physician, not a shortcut and not a standardized script. Because real answers take real diagnostics and real experience. Ohio ENT and Allergy Physicians offer the full spectrum of sinus and snoring care, from in-office treatments to advanced surgical options when needed. Personalized care, local physicians, long-term relief. Book your appointment now at OhioENTandAllergy.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you've probably all used Dr. Google before you go to a visit to a GP or consultant, but patients are now frequently turning to AI to ask about symptoms and even to self-diagnose. Dr. Omer Tujar, founder of International Society of Medical AI and consultant in anesthesia, intensive care and pain medicine at the National Orthopaedic Hospital in Kappa, is here to tell us how the medics feel about this. Good afternoon, Omer. How are you today?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
I'm not surprised that you're seeing people coming to you with these new, having spent a lot of time on AI and stuff, a lot of people using it, and it's very impressive.
Yes, they do. And it is very impressive. It's a breathtaking technology, to be honest with you. I mean, before, people would come with Google, prompts. So they would just feel something, some change in their life, and they would go to Google. And they will come with a list of things that, was fragmented. You know, it was a bit alarming sometimes, but recognizably incomplete. So okay, they would come to the consultation and the doctor would still have the capacity to start the conversation from zero. Whereas now with AI, you know, it's not only information, it's also an interpretation of the information, right? So they come with a narrative. The patients develop the narrative, or they receive the narrative, and they come with a preconceived set of notions, and they come to the consultation and they have that in their mind. So there's a frame before they come to the doctor. So the consultation does not start at zero any longer. Right. It starts between a doctor and someone who has received a narrative from an AI tool.
Right. So the first thing you have to do is challenge that narrative.
Yeah. More than challenge, perhaps, disentangle that narrative, right? So because, I mean, let's be honest, it could be an appropriate prompt. It could be an appropriate answer. However, it may not be the full picture here. You know, medicine can be complex at times and it can come with possible other explanations. So the doctor's role really is to, hold a second there. Let's have a look here. Let's look back at things. Maybe there's a wider picture to discuss here. So and sometimes that becomes difficult if the patients come with a conviction, right? So we have to try to disentangle that. And that's the problem, because patients are coming, they have their ideas that they're formulated. And so the doctors that have to, try to eradicate that.
Right, because they're probably quite married to what they've been reading about now for some time. And probably little things in their lives are increasingly convincing them that the AI knows exactly what it's talking about.
Yeah, and
so they're looking at you and thinking, oh, hang on a second now.
Yes.
I kind of know what's going on here.
Yes, so they inhabit that explanation, right?
That must be very frustrating for you.
It can be, but at the same time, doctors are trained to review the picture from zero, right? So we're trained, at recognizing that and to tell the patient, look, maybe that could be true. However, let's take a step back and let's review, because maybe it could be this or could be that. Let's have a wider, let's make sure we're not missing anything here, right? So that's the conversation that we should have. But definitely there could be an element of, loss of trust during the interaction between the doctor and the patient, because on one side, the patient might see that, reopening of the box as some sort of,
this man knows
dismissal.
Nothing about me.
Exactly. Dismissal or maybe they're overly cautious or whatever. So there's a loss of trust. On the other side, the doctors might feel the pressure, right? So there's a bit of an issue in the interaction that happens in the consultation. So that's where the problem is.
And that's a new thing for you.
It's a new thing.
Something you'd never seen before.
No, because I said, we used to see Google before, but that was, easily resolved, because patients wouldn't come with an explanation.
Yeah.
Because there is information, right? There is explanation of that information, and then there is clinical judgment. So before, patients would come with informations, right? So, and the doctor's job would be to connect the dots, ask for, other diagnostics like bloods, whatever. And we could then formulate a set of explanations. And then the third step would be the diagnosis and the clinical judgment. Now the patients would come with the second layer, or the layer of explanation of the information, right? So that's important distinction. And it's a new thing, definitely. It's a new event.
Frustrating for you?
Not necessarily. As I said, it's important nowadays. So the answer to all that is education. So we have to educate both patients and clinicians, actually. It's very important to educate both sides. From one side, it's important to educate patients on how to read those answers and how to take them on board. So it's important to tell them, look, this is just one of the possible explanations. So when you go to your doctor, you mention that as a possibility and, a base for having a consultation and rather than a verdict, right?
Sure.
On the other hand, we have to train the clinicians to not treat those as, ridiculous explanations.
Yeah.
We don't have to dismiss it or humiliate the patient's initiative of looking after their own health, right? So
absolutely,
it's important for us to train the doctor to say, look, we live in an AI world. It's not going anywhere. So we have to recognize it, and we have to start the conversation by asking the patient, have you looked into this before? Have you, Googled it? Have you looked into AI? What did the AI tell you? Let me have a look here. And if there is something else, then the conversation will become, well, let's step back here. Let's make sure we're not missing anything. So let's do it again from the beginning. Let's start from the basics here. Let's have a clinical examination. Let's ask for this or that exam. And then we'll make an explanation about all this.
Because that's where your training is, isn't it? I have to say, it's reminding me of Sherlock Holmes, as you describe it. Mm. It's like going in almost with knowing nothing and asking the right questions and using your experience and your qualifications to try and, work out what was going on from that, not from a whole complex semi picture.
Yeah, but the message I want to say is that I'm not against the patients looking online. Right.
Sure.
We shouldn't be against that. Actually, it's a normal human impulse to look online and to read about possible explanations to all that, what's happening, right? But the risk is not to carry that explanation as a verdict and go like that to the consultation. It's important to have an understanding of what's going on in our own health. And, we shouldn't be against it. We should just be careful on how we conduct then the consultation in the consultation room with the doctor.
Sounds like we need a mediator to explain.
Yeah. So the mediator is the public sector, right? The public health sector. And that's where it's the health literacy is important.
Yeah.
AI health literacy specifically. So we have to train the patients through public health campaigns on how to deal with this AI tool.
Because it's very useful.
Exactly. It's absolutely useful. It's a breathtaking technology, right? So it's important to educate the patients on how to read all that. And at the same time, it's important to educate the clinicians on how to treat the patients who come with this explanation.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
So it's to you to not try and diminish the work they've done, but for them to also understand that you need to start this at the base and you need to rebuild the picture again with your expertise.
Because at the end of the day, we have to make the diagnosis ourselves. It's our responsibility and we're accountable for that.
Very good.
So we have to make sure that everything is done correctly.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks very much, John, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
That is Dr. Umar Tujar, founder of the International Society of Medical AI and Consultant Anesthesia. So if you're going in to visit your doctor, don't go in there assuming that you know absolutely everything.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Fast solutions sound appealing, but breathing better isn't about a stopwatch. At Ohio ENT and Allergy Physicians, treatment decisions aren't rushed or limited to one approach. Every patient receives a comprehensive sinus evaluation and a plan tailored to their specific anatomy and symptoms. Some conditions can be treated in office. Others require more advanced care. And Ohio ENT and Allergy Physicians is equipped for all of it. If you're ready for thoughtful, physician-led sinus care, schedule your appointment today at OhioENTandAllergy.com.